Welcome to Healing the World Through Music podcast. I'm Sherry Gross, bringing you conversations, experiences, and explorations on healing music and music for healing. You can find information on healing music events, tours, and trainings, as well as free gifts, music downloads, and all kinds of resources on music for healing at www.healingtheworldthroughmusic.com. Find yourself in a comfy spot and settle in because it's going to be an amazing episode. Thanks for listening. Today's call is with Bruce Manaka. Bruce is a healer, an artist, and a creative divine being. Bruce has a primary approach of helping people to connect with and find their creativity and purpose in life. And the way that he does that is through the use of sound and their overtones. All that is required, according to Bruce, is an open heart and deep listening. Today, on this call with Bruce is going to talk about connecting with the nuances and subtleties of sound and vibration as a way to connect with the body, the heart, and even the chakras. Bruce talks with us today about being present to the feelings and sensations in the body and how they lead to a sound of their own. He will also tell us about the body's amazing amount of wisdom in knowing what to do and how we try to resist that intellectually. Bruce will talk with us about sounds with such low frequencies that they cannot be heard, only felt with the body. And Bruce will dive into the body's unbelievable potential to feel the bliss vibration. Bruce's background includes 19 years as a monk, where he studied and practiced meditation and lived and worked in the art of silence. In his sound healing work, Bruce combines the ancient vocal techniques of overtone singings with beautiful tones of crystal singing bowls to create vibratory dynamic environments that raise the energy level of everyone present. And as sound can be a direct path to integrate body and mind through the alignment that occurs when it is focused with powerful intent, it serves as a doorway to explore realms of unlimited creativity and inner wisdom, as well as vocal power. Please welcome Bruce Manaka. Best place to start would be to go back to the beginning of how you first got interested in music and sound as a healing modality. And what was your first experience where you realized the power of music and sound with healing?
I don't know if you remember, but I was a monk for 19 years in an ashram of East Indian tradition. And during that time, I really, really got into the traditional types of chanting. And I belonged to a kirtan group, and I played the drums, and I loved to use the voice. And it wasn't until after leaving the ashram, and that's a whole different story there. Leaving the ashram, I started to get into use of the voice as a way to connect with what I like to term the bodily field. It's sort of like connecting with the internal energy. And I found that sound, and especially the vibration of the voice, was a real easy and simple way to make that connection, connecting with those subtle energies. I found that the voice is really powerful to be able to do that. I also got into, during that time after leaving, I got into overtone singing, and using the voice to sing 2, 3, 4 notes at the same time. And I found that was a really powerful way to vibrate, get into the resonance of the different areas of the body, different chakras. And I found that certain sounds and intensities of sound had a way of vibrating the heart area. And I found that to be really interesting because using principles of resonance, using the voice as a way to just vibrate, it didn't have to necessarily have any meaning, you know, intellectual meaning to the sound. It was just a way of going with certain sounds and feeling and listening deeply to inside. And I realized that those sounds are a way to get into the body, into the spine, into the chakras. And then from there it became a play, and really a play and dance of subtlety, getting into finer and finer and finer nuances of vibration. And I don't think there's any limit up or down as far as connecting with the nuances, the subtleties of vibration. And that's where I've been, you know, doing most of my exploration and work, is playing with sound, playing with the nuances, the fine vibrations of sound, you know, as a way to connect with the heart, as a way to connect with you know, the different bodily parts, you know, connecting with the chakras. And I found that connecting with the heart was also a way of connecting with the field of energy that's all around the body, not necessarily just in the body, but all around the body. It seems like sound is a way to connect with energetic fields of our body and our consciousness. It was a really interesting place to explore after leaving the ashram.
Yeah. Well, what would you, if you were going to sort of give some guidance to someone listening who hasn't heard or who hasn't experienced what you're talking about, what type of feelings would they feel when you talk about that connecting with the heart?
I found, and it's really important that the approach, you know, my approach was in leaving the ashram, I pretty much got to a point of, not, you know, in the ashram, I reached the wall with my meditations. And the meditations were really nice. You know, I was able to feel a lot of deep peace, and I had really nice, amazing experiences with it. But, you know, I reached the wall with it, and I wasn't able to go any deeper with it. And the irony is that I was practicing a particular Kriya technique for connecting with the spine, connecting with the subtle energies in the spine. But I realized, it wasn't until leaving that I realized that my focus was so much on technique that I missed the subtlety of the vibration wanting to play and dance the way that it wanted to play and dance in my body. Hmm. You know, I was so focused on technique that I wasn't able to connect with the actual vibration that was in the spine. And when I was able to finally just release the technique and allow myself to feel really deeply in my body, just to be able to feel and then follow that sensation deeper and deeper into the spine, I found that there was a kind of a resonance and sound. And, you know, it's a very simple approach that I use. It's just being with the sound, with the resonance of my body, just being, you know, present to the vibrations that are making themselves available in my body, and allowing myself to feel. And, you know, and the feelings can be, you know, uncomfortable, it can be emotional. It doesn't matter. It's just being present to the feelings that arise within the bodily field, and then allowing myself to just feel and follow those sensations without the stories around them, just following sensations. And then I realized that those sensations also have kind of like a sound to it, very extremely subtle. Maybe, you know, it's not something that you could really hear with the ears. In fact, it's like learning to hear or listen not only with the ears but with every cell of the body. It's about sensitivity to vibration, sensitivity to feelings, and those feelings have a certain sound. And so I started playing with those sounds. I call them sounds, but it's just vibration. And I realized that the voice can magnify the vibratory sensations that are happening inside the spine. And so it can be just a matter of the ah, you know, ah feeling, ah sound, or ah, or oh, any of the vowel sounds, just playing with sound, you know, using the voice as an instrument to explore the body. And it could be, there's no formula, there's no technique involved, it's just, it all becomes a matter of playing with sound, with vibration. Hmm. And, you know, if I approached it with a sense of, okay, I have to do it this way, I have to do it that way, there has to be a technique around it. Again, I realized that I would lose the connection with the subtle energy. And it's the subtle energy that calls out those extremely fine vibrations. Hmm. I hope that makes sense. It's not like I could say to another person, okay, this is what you do. Chant, you know, om or ah or ooh. In certain traditions, it's great to start with something. But at a certain point, I found that I had to release those traditional approaches. It's great to, you know, for a foundation. It gave me an overview or perspective about using sound. But at a certain point, I had to release technique and allow myself to just play with the vibrations. It becomes a play of using the vowel sounds, the play of using the mantras. But there's no real technique that I would suggest. It becomes all a play, and in that approach of playfulness, that's where, you know, the use of the voice, you modulate it according to how the sound within that you're feeling is inviting you to play with, you know, play. I hope that, I'm not sure if mm-hmm. I explained that correctly.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
There's a subtlety to that.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're kind of saying what your advice would be was one of the first things. I mean, I love how you said to hear it with every cell of the body, and that you explained the experience you had. It's almost like you were switching from thinking to feeling, and so that the advice seems like it is to feel the, you know, let the experience take you instead of trying to think about that. Maybe just, it could be because I've experienced your amazing playing and performance with, like, for example, the didgeridoo, and just the way that feels when you play over the body. And I mean, that's just for me, that's the essence of it, feeling it, and not, I guess, that's how the body does its magic, right? Because those cells then are vibrating from the, whatever the resonance or the frequency, however what that sound does to the human body when you play over someone, and that's where the shift happens, right, at the cellular level, because you don't have to think about it. The body just will respond automatically once you feel that, or...
Oh, yeah, exactly. The body has an amazing amount of wisdom. It, you know, the body and the energies in the body, it already knows what it wants, what it needs to do in the body. Hmm. And what happens when we resist it intellectually, when we think that I have to do it a certain way, I have to do technique a certain way, then it's almost like we're insulating ourselves from the vibrations, the subtleties that are wanting to infuse our body. It's like the vibration and the energy in the body, it has the wisdom, and it's just a matter of allowing ourselves to follow and feel, and allow ourselves to you know, move in micro movements. It's almost like there's the spine and the body, you know, the energy in the spine and body. It knows how it wants to move. It knows what it needs to do in order to shift our consciousness to that, you know, higher resonance. And it's just a matter of allowing ourselves to listen and feel on deeper and deeper and deeper, you know, levels.
That's amazing.
And, you know, and a big part of that, it too, is allowing ourselves to the set aside the intellectual wanting to know how things are working. Mm-hmm. You know, it just a little while to be able to allow the intellect to relax a little bit. Because, yeah. You know, it's our thoughts and our beliefs and our assumptions around experiences that sort of, it's like a rigid blanket around that subtle energy.
Mm-hmm. Like it kind of ruins us because we're not open to that. You talk a lot about the playing and the feeling, and really in a lot of our society and in this time of really high productivity and getting things done fast and making just people have so much to do and so little time. And I think there's a big push in our Western culture not to feel things, like to kind of just, you keep going, right? Because you can't stop, and it's more of thinking and keeping on track with this brain power and not letting ourselves feel things. And I think your music and the performance, I mean, just thinking about your playing and the experience I had with the didgeridoo and when you were playing over me, I could feel it right now thinking about it. Just my body, I guess, has stored that memory. And when we allow ourselves to feel, that can open whole new ways of thinking, I guess, because we might have different reactions or take different actions than we would by thinking if we're acting based on our feelings. So I could see how there's so many shifts that happen on that level, influencing our actions and what we do, because it's changing the way we think. And also, I think it's fascinating how you told that the body knows what to do. And so, like, this whole array of bodily functions on the physical level that we're not really in control of, that kind of take over as a result of the sound. Maybe you could speak to that a little bit more. That's so fascinating. It's a whole other world.
There's a whole other world around sound. And a lot of the sounds that are interesting to me are the ones that cannot be heard with the ears. They're either such low frequencies, but they can be felt in the body. And when we allow ourselves to open up with deep feeling and deep listening, we get a sense of those frequencies. And it's almost like the body becomes, it's almost like it becomes part of the geometric pattern of creation of the environment that we might be in. The body has an unbelievable potential to feel bliss vibration. And to me, you know, that's the most interesting area of exploration, is dropping into bliss vibration.
And that's supposed to be a vibration that we can strive, that we can achieve, right, or attain, according to the...
It's a very real experience. And the bliss, you know, it's like nectar moving through the body. And it's like, it has a very liquid type of texture. And when we feel it in the spine, it's something, it's almost like we can push and pull and squeeze and contract, expand. It's like liquid. It's like liquid, you know, nectar moving through the body. And then, you know, when we're able to connect with that, the vibratory pattern, the body becomes very, it feels like it's part of a matrix or part of the pattern of creation. If you feel so much part of the environment, of everything that's around you, much wider than just the physical body.
Wow. I love how you describe that, like the liquid nectar moving through the body and through the spine. That sounds so nice. Let's talk about some experiences that you've had from the performing side, and maybe people who've been to your events. And is this a state that people would get into or be able to feel that from coming to, hear you play? And what types of instruments or modalities do you use to help people reach that feeling?
Oh, yes. The intention that I hold whenever I do my workshops or events, my intention is to create resonant spaces where people, it's really important that people feel safe and relaxed. You know, without that sense of safety and relaxation, it's more difficult for the heart to open up. It's more difficult to feel, you know, on deeper levels. So my intention is always to hold sacred space. I started off with different sounds. I use, you know, crystal singing bowls as a way to initiate the sacred space. I use my voice combined with, you know, the crystal singing bowls, and I sing in overtones. And then those singing bowls and my voice, you know, as I sing prayers, I call in our guides, our angelic guides. I call in a sense of safety for this space. And then, you know, it's something where the mind will, it's almost like the mind and body in that type of vibration almost automatically starts to slow down. The body starts to relax. And the mind starts to expand and relax. And the whole idea is, one way of putting it is that the body and mind, it goes into a deep trance state, and it's a real easy way to do it when using sound. You know, using sound, certain sounds and vibrations, it really helps the body and mind to easily and simply, you know, drop into that trance state. The body feels more expanded, the mind feels more relaxed and at ease. And then it's just a matter of taking it from there. When people are feeling relaxed and open and safe, then I invite them to, you know, use their voice, to play with their voice. You know, just, you know, it's there's no wrong way of singing. It's just a matter of exploring their voice and how it can vibrate the body. And then the attention begins to follow that vibration, and then the attention and the focus goes deeper and deeper. It's almost like the sound, the feeling and the sensation in the body, it invites the awareness, it invites the focus to go into some really deeper and deeper. And as we follow, it's just a matter of following that vibration to deeper levels of subtlety. And then usually people might start feeling something in the spine. And I say spine, it's just a way of the general location. It can be almost anywhere. Feeling can happen outside the body because our awareness becomes very expansive in that state. We feel on a wider areas of the environment. I think people in general, they go into really deep spaces of awareness because they start to relax and they start to follow the vibration that's happening in their own body.
That's lovely. It sounds so nice. I've got some pictures in mind of workshops that I've seen you do with people in the restorative poses at the yoga studios, and I have to say I have not actually experienced that where you did the voice integrating and having people do their own exploration with their voice. That really sounds like it takes it to a whole nother level.
I was wondering
if you could give an example of some, or maybe a few examples of people who've attended your events or your performances, and or perhaps people that you've worked with and implemented some sound healing, any of the shifts that had occurred for them, either physically or emotionally or mentally in their life, any kind of stories of people who've transformed somehow or something's changed for them through using the music and sound.
I have been able to do a lot of collaborations with yoga instructors, Reiki practitioners, and other types of healers. And some of the experiences that, you know, afterwards when we have a chance to debrief and integrate, you know, their experience, we talk about that feeling of great expansion. And the body is more, it becomes a feeling more of, it's a field of energy. And the movement of energy in the spine and in certain parts of the body, that sense of feeling, the vibration in the heart, people become more sensitive and attuned to those types of vibrations. I never go into an event with the thought that this is going to be a healing type of experience. The intention is never, I am going to heal other people. My intention is always, this is what I do. I create resonant spaces, and I invite other people to partake in that resonant space. Healings might happen, but that's for them. It's their experience. People are invited to feel on those deeper and deeper levels, and if healing happens, that's great. My whole approach is really simple. I am there to facilitate a resonant space where people can feel safe. Mm. And then healing can happen. Mm-hmm. But you know, that's not so much my intent. I keep it real simple. Mm. You know, it's their experience.
Mm-hmm. Like
it's a space that I invite people to partake in.
Because their body will know what to do, like you said earlier, once they open to that.
Yeah.
And it will happen for their own.
Yeah. Their body has its own wisdom.
Set the stage for things to happen, and that's up to the individual how it actually affects them or what they get and take from it, which could be on any level depending upon what they really need or what they're receptive to or what their intention is too, probably, right? I mean, you talk about intention a lot. Does that have an effect if they bring an intent to the situation? And is that powerful too?
Exactly, mm-hmm. And you know, it's my hope also that they'd be interested in exploring their own power, the power of their own voices. Because for me, it's in the voice where there's so much power can be explored.
Yeah.
The resonance of their own voices as a way to get into their bodies, get into their the feelings.
Hmm.
For me, it's through the voice that a lot of blockages can be moved through the body.
Well, it's fascinating. I would like to learn more about that and experience more of that voice work, too. Can you suggest some places? Do you have some ongoing events or anything coming up that you're facilitating related to that work? Or can you give some website info or recommendations of where you would guide people to find out more about that?
Website is www.manakastudios.com. And from there, I have links to more information about the type of work that I do. I have a blog that I explore some of the things that we talked about. A lot of information can be received from my blog. And the focus that I have right now is I'm putting together my second book. And this book is pretty much about what we're talking about today.
Hmm.
That is pretty much connecting with the bliss vibration. And I call it the serpent dance. And to me, in the serpent dance, it's about that coiling feeling that happens when we start to connect with that energy, that coiling and uncoiling. It's sort of like, it feels like there's a rotation of that energy in the spine.
Hmm.
And it's typically, people sometimes refer to it as Kundalini awakening.
Mm-hmm.
My focus right now is on getting that book put together. I have about 90 to 95% of it done, and I hope to have it out very soon.
Oh, nice. Well, we'll have to look for that, and also look for you at some events in the local areas or wherever.
I'll be doing something in September with a Reiki master, and I'll be using Jumons, something that they're sort of mantras that are particular to Reiki practitioners. I'll be doing a workshop with Joyce Leonard, who will be presenting, but I will also be using those Jumons as a way to augment the power of Reiki. I'm really excited about the book because, to me, it's geared towards people, you know, like myself, that I meditated for years and years and years, but not really making that connection with the spinal energies that the guru talked about.
Hmm.
And I talked about the process that I went through. My intention is that it might be of help to those people that want to make that deeper connection with the spinal energies.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's so much there to explore. I would love to look into that deeper, too.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you, Bruce. Is there anything else that you want to say that maybe we didn't get to have you mention that comes to mind?
For me, one of the great uses of sound and vibration and using principles of resonance is that it does open up the heart area.
Mm-hmm.
And when that opens up, it becomes real, real clear about the path that, you know, I'm to take. Using sound, you know, I find sound and music, vibration, resonance, you know, it's a real simple and direct way of getting into our life path, what we're here to do.
Mm.
It becomes very clear. And to me, that's been a great blessing to be able to get clarity around, you know, my life path. That, you know, this is what I'm here to do. And I find that what I'm here to do is create resonant spaces for other people, and where other people can feel the power of their own life song.
Hmm.
Connect with their own life song so that, you know, they'll have a better idea of what their gifts are.
Mm-hmm. I think that's such a huge thing. I mean, there's a lot of thinking around the whole idea of life path and purpose and mission and what to do. Like, it's basically, I feel that most of what on the paths that I've chosen, there's been two ways. There's been one where the thinking and the right thing to do and the, you know, what you've gone to school for, what you, and the career and the job and the family wants for you. There's like this whole way that's just based around thinking, right? And then there's a whole nother area that's around feeling and what creativity and expansion and what's unique and what excites me. What can you really, and that seems like what you're telling, you know, is able to help people tap into that area of really that feeling it and loving it and doing it and not just that thinking side of how to live your life or what to do for your, I mean, that's huge, that whole, that's where, that's the really powerful stuff right there, you know, and to be able to help people access that, because it gets shut off so often if we don't pay attention to open that part of us.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a matter of paying attention to that vibration. I mean, it really is. It's screaming for expression. Now, I found that not listening to it and or shutting it down, my body started falling apart when I was in the ashram. Allowing ourselves to listen and to feel, that was crucial to opening up to the wider perspective of what was wanting to happen and what was wanting to express in my life.
Hmm. Yeah, that's huge. I think there's probably a lot of people who have a similar situation going on, you know, may not be able to put their finger on what it is, right? But, you know, getting stuck in the whole routine of a work life and day to day, but then there's this inner voice and this path, right, that everyone has to unfold. And,
oh, yeah.
And it's... Yeah. I mean, a gift that you're able to help people to access that. It just opens a whole new realm of possibilities, which is what's so cool.
Yeah. Sound and music, it does provide a real simple and direct, easy doorway or entryway for connecting with those types of energies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've given so much information and great insight and to the power of sound and music and vibration and bringing your peace to that, and that's really nice. So I really thank you for sharing, and I appreciate what you're doing. It's just, it's great if everyone could experience your work. Just being in that space, I think, is really the key.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me to speak
it. Yeah, you're welcome. Oh, isn't that amazing? Thank you so much for joining us today and listening to this episode of Healing the World Through Music. Do check our website for your free tools on healing music and music for healing, including your own healing music blueprint, which is a new exciting offering that you'll find at www.healingtheworldthroughmusic.com. Thank you.